Okay, I'm reading John 11, verses 25 through 35, and I'm reading from the NIV translation. It's Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," and she said, "and he is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept.
Thank you, Ed. How would telling people to be nice and to love one another get a man crucified? Phil Yancey, in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, which I would recommend that you read, asked this question: what government would execute Mr. Rogers or Captain Kangaroo? Jesus was not crucified because he was Mr. Nice Guy. Now, some of you may take odds at my next statement, but that's okay. Jesus picked fights. Theological fights with the Pharisees and the religious leaders, and he called them snakes and vipers and whitewashed graves. Can you imagine Jesus walking in here this morning and saying, "You generation of vipers, you snakes, you whitewashed graves"? And then, of course, he said he was God. Jesus was no wimpy, sissy man. Or as Arnold Schwarzenegger said, "girly women, girly men." Jesus, he was not a girly man. He was a real man. Apart from my theological and personal relationship to Jesus now, I think I would have liked Jesus as a man. He was a real man. But Jesus also cried. Jesus wept. So it is God's purpose to conform us to the image or the likeness of Jesus Christ. Amen. We evangelicals, we like to quote Romans 8, 28 and 29. It's God's will that we be conformed to the image or the likeness of Jesus. I hope you all agree with that. And like Jesus, we must be ready for a theological battle, spiritual battle with the demonic, and even to face death on a cross. And like Jesus, we need to be real men and slash women. We need to be real men who cry. My burden as a pastor, and it's been for years, it's one of those burdens that I can't get away from. It's been there ever since I became a believer years ago. It probably goes back to my childhood and my growing up years with an alcoholic, gambling father. My burden as a pastor is for men, for real men. One of the things that frustrates me, and I really want to be honest, and I am not going to try to offend. I hope I don't offend anybody. One of the things that really frustrates me is our wimpy, sissy, girly men. Okay, I said it. That frustrates me. It's like, it's a good thing I'm a Christian. And you profess to be my brother in Christ, but you little sissy. You know, you little wimp. I think it's Mike Grossina says, you got to put your big boy pants on, right? Are you a real man? Are you a real woman? Do you cry? The real issue here, and what we're going to focus on, is not so much that Jesus cried, but why? Why did he cry? In the Bible, in the New Testament, there are at least three, and if you find a fourth or a fifth, let me know. It'll just make my sermon longer, okay? But I have a nice three-point sermon this morning, because there are three passages that tell us that Jesus cried. Jesus cried. Now, we know this one. We're going to look at it in a moment from John. What I want us to do is to study these passages and to learn why Jesus cried as an example for us to be real men, real women, like Jesus. Because there's some deep reasons why he cried. And I trust that these would become our reasons for crying. Three biblical reasons why Jesus cried and why real men will cry. The first is from the passage that Ed read, and that's in John. Reason number one, John 11:35, Jesus cried because of death. Now, John 11:35, some of you know that verse is very significant. Why? Shortest verse in the Bible. Now, growing up as a kid in southwest Pennsylvania in a CNMA church like ours, we had Bible memorization, Sunday school, vacation Bible school. And one of the first verses you could learn and you could tell your teacher, I memorized John 11:35. Well, please tell me, student, Jesus wept. Wow, good for you. Well, here in verse 35, it says Jesus wept. Verse 33 helps clarify the reason. When Jesus saw her weeping, Mary and Martha were there, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. The context here, if you don't know the story, his friend Lazarus had died, and the sisters were wondering why Jesus didn't come right away and pray, and he would have been healed and he wouldn't have died. But Lazarus died, and now the sisters come, and the friends are there, and they are weeping as part of their culture, and they are wailing loudly. It's not all just boo-hoo, our brother died. I mean, there's this wailing going on. Jesus responds to the death and their wailing by being deeply moved and troubled to the point of crying. Not wailing in anguish, but deeply moved to cry. Now, certainly, we would be amiss if we didn't interpret this in the light that Jesus wept, Jesus cried. There was sadness over Lazarus' death. Lazarus was a friend. But I remind you, and I remind you, he knew that in a few moments, Jesus would be raised to life. See, he knew that. So his crying was more than just Lazarus died. I believe that Jesus wept, Jesus cried because of their lack of hope and misunderstanding of death. John 11, verses 25, some of the earlier verses, 23 to 25, there Jesus is telling them that he is the resurrection and the life. And in that context, that he's building up to this moment with Lazarus, who he delayed, knowing that God's glory was going to be manifest. He knew that Lazarus was going to die. And here he's talking to them about being the resurrection and the life. And if you actually look at the language very carefully, and if you get a chance this afternoon, look at it as he's speaking to Mary and Martha, and he's speaking to this crowd that ends up weeping and wailing, and he says, those of you that put your hope in me, you will live, and then you will die, and then you will live forever. And you look at the language, it's awesome. You will live, you will die, and then you're going to live forever. So I believe that Jesus was weeping here because they were missing the hope that was really real in him. Death is not final, and he was offering them hope in himself. Now, what does this say about a real man and crying. Certainly, real men cry when a loved one or a close friend dies. But it is not the wailing in anguish over that terrible sting of death. Like the religious Jews here in this context, religion cannot provide real hope in the face of death. Real men cry over people who have no hope, and they wail in anguish over the event that we call death. It's like, this is terrible. My father died at the age of 59 of a heart attack in 1974. And I remember driving back to Western Pennsylvania in that town of McDonald, and we're at the funeral home, and his body's there in the casket for this viewing. And his sister, he had one sister, one sibling, was a younger sister by a couple of years, and she wasn't there yet. And I remember all of a sudden we're in the funeral home, and we hear this outside, this screaming, this wailing in anguish, and it's his sister, my aunt, that her brother had died, and she was wailing and screaming and crying, and she could barely get in. They had to pick her up and carry her into the building. Real men will be troubled, and we will cry over people, friends and family, but real men will cry over people with no hope. I have had many funerals in my almost 43 years of being a pastor. And I'll tell you, and I hope this doesn't sound too morbid, but at funerals, I pay very little attention to the person in the casket. Oh, I walk up and I look, and thoughts come into my mind. But I watch the people at the funeral, either at the funeral home or here or at the cemetery. And I watch the people, and I am more moved by their anguish, the anguish of non-Christians that there is, someone's died and there is no hope. I've been at funerals, and I've had funerals for old people that have died of old age. I've been at funerals for people that have had cancer or heart attacks. I've been at funerals, and I've had funerals for people that have committed suicide, certainly substance abuse and drug overdose, teens, infants, little babies. I've been at all those. And I listen to people, and I've stood at those caskets or at the front, and I've listened and I've watched. And I've watched the anguish. And yeah, there has been some what you might call funny, comical moments. At a funeral of a person I didn't know. And usually, you know how I deal with funerals of somebody that I don't know? I walk up to the casket and I go, "Hi, nice to meet you." And that may seem silly, but I've never met them before. I had a funeral where I walked up and here was a cardboard life-size painting of Elvis Presley, standing right at the head of the casket. "Hi, Elvis." I mean, you know. I also read obituaries. Not all of them all the time, but I glance through. If I want to see if your name's in there. I'm not looking for my name. If my name's in there, wonderful, I'm gone. But I want to see it for somebody I know. And then I read through some of the obituaries. And I actually have one that I saved at a funeral that I had. And again, I'm going to be on the edge of offending someone I know. "She loved to go to Atlantic City and play bingo." This is in the obituary. And I love to listen to what people say about someone that's dead. "Oh, they were a good person." Or, "Oh, it's so sad. They died too early, and they were too young, and they're going to a better place." And I'm going, how do you know? And I say that with as trying to be compassionate. Or it's not fair. Jesus cried. Jesus wept. Yeah, Lazarus died, but the anguish of the people that had no hope. Real men, real women, it's okay to cry at death. But it's okay to cry when there are people that have no hope and there's just anguish and wailing. The second reason is found in Luke chapter 19, verse 41. Jesus cried because of lost people. Luke 19, verse 41, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And verse 44 adds, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you, Jerusalem. I can remember back in September when Connie and I were there for our 50th wedding anniversary, and we come out of the Jordan River Valley, and come up the mountain and crest the mountain, and then there you look, and there's Jerusalem. What a moving sight. You see the Dome of the Rock, the Gold Dome, and you see the Temple Mount area, and you see the city there. And I can see Jesus coming up, and he looks out over the city, and he cries. Jerusalem, the religious center of what God was doing in establishing his eternal kingdom, through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and they missed the Messiah. They really missed who Jesus was. They missed Jesus. Jerusalem, the spiritual and geographical heart of the Jews, did not recognize and accept him. And those religious people, they would suffer and they would perish because they were spiritually blind to Jesus. They were spiritually lost. And they would spend eternity separated from God in a place that we as evangelicals refer to as hell. Separated from God, and miss eternal life and miss heaven. Why? Because they did not recognize and accept Jesus as the Messiah, God's King, and as their Savior, and as their Lord. And so when Jesus sees the city and all of its people, he weeps. He knows they're lost. Real men like Jesus will cry over lost people. Lost people matter to God. If lost people didn't matter to God, we would not be here this morning. See, we were lost. We were lost. We may not have thought that, but we were lost. God's never lost, but we were lost. And lost people matter to God. And if you have any doubt about that, read the next chapter in Luke. Read chapter 15, or earlier chapter. Read Luke 15, where he talks about lost people, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, the prodigal son. See, lost people have missed Jesus the Messiah. They have missed salvation. They have missed eternal life. They are lost, separated from God in eternity. See, real men believe that, and they are moved to tears. Think about your own personal neighbors, associates, relatives, friends, strangers. Think about your own family. Lovingly, I share this. Try moving out of your own little world. Your own little world that's maybe just all jammed in a ball, and all it involves is going to work and your family and eating and sleeping and drinking and, you know, and having time with your family. Think about that and move out of that world and see the world through Jesus' eyes, that lost people matter to him. And you will be moved. You will be moved. If you've never done this, drive around Hamilton, drive around Mercer County, drive through Trenton, And I don't mean just to drive looking for a restaurant or just, hey, this is where I live. I mean drive through with your eyes open, your spiritual eyes open, and let Jesus open your eyes to see lost people. Lost people. And I'm not just talking about the homeless people living under a bridge in Trenton. I'm talking about East Windsor, West Windsor, Princeton, this whole area, Hamilton. They're without Jesus Christ. If they've missed Jesus, they are lost. I don't care how religious they are. And Jesus wept. Third reason he cried is found in the book of Hebrews. And this may be a new one to some of you. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, Jesus cried because of burdened prayer. Jesus cried because of burdened prayer. Verse 7 in Hebrews 5, listen to it for a moment. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who would save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Jesus was a man of prayer. He prayed and he talked with the Father. He prayed for lost people. And in those moments where he was burdened in prayer for the Father to intervene, he prays and he cries out in a loud voice, and he cries. I've shared this story, but it always plugs in. And my mother, who has just turned 92 in January, she's a godly woman of prayer. And as a kid in the summertime when there was no school and would be playing outside and the windows of the house were open, I would hear my mother inside wailing and weeping and moaning and groaning. And there's something wrong with my mother. And I'd go in and I'd look in, and there she was on her knees beside her bed praying and crying out in tears to God for my alcoholic gambling father and her three sons. And I was the oldest. Jesus was a man of prayer, but he prayed in this moment of a burden prayer that would pray and cry to the point of these tears. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, gives us a little bit of insight into this intense level of praying. Listen to what Paul says. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. See, there is praying, and then there is praying. There is now the Lord, I lay me down to sleep, you know. Lord, we give thank you for this stuff and this food. Goodbye, see you later, you know. There's praying and then there's praying. There's praying that is intercession, which is crying out to God because of a specific burden to the point of weeping, and that is okay. Jesus, the real man, wept with burdens as he cried out to the Father. Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians 14, gives us a little bit of a glimpse, insight into that kind of praying, where he talks about praying in the Spirit. He says, I pray with my understanding in a language that I normally use, but I also pray in this language that I don't know and I've never learned, and I cry out to you, and I'm praying in the Spirit. Real men will weep with burdened prayer. And yes, real men will pray, as Paul writes to young Timothy. And I have preached on this before, but let me just give you a brief thumbnail sketch of this from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Real men will lift up hands in prayer. I know I'm addressing men, but it's for men and women. If you ever lifted up your hands when you pray, try it. Sunday morning is nice. You know, it's easy because we got people to do it. But when you're alone with God, get alone with God and lift up your hands. Woo! I lift up my hands. But you know, men lift up their hands for a couple of reasons. Mike Tredigo gets me in Trenton. And he says, hey, stick them up. You don't do that anymore, do you, right, Mike? No. Yeah. But you know the old phrase, stick them up. An act of surrender. I give up. You're a higher authority than me. You got me. So we lift up our hands. We also lift up our hands, and as fathers, oh, we have loved it when our little toddler comes and says, "Daddy, pick me up. Hug me, draw me close." You know, isn't that so wonderful? Father, Jesus, hug me. And then, touchdown, Jesus. Notre Dame football thinks they have touchdown Jesus. If you've ever seen a football game at the stadium, there's this big gold statue of Jesus, and you can see it, and they call it touchdown Jesus. Well, that's not touchdown Jesus. It's touchdown Jesus when real men lift up their hands saying, "Jesus, thank you for what you've done, what you're doing in my life." Real men will cry because of the burden, it is just too heavy. You want God to do something. You want God to show up. And it's that intense level of seeking God, our Heavenly Father. It's that intense level of seeking God. That's that groaning or weeping in prayer. It's seeking God until He answers. And yes, it may not be in our own human language. It may be words that we've never invented and the Holy Spirit prays through us. Or it may be groaning in travail as a woman bringing forth a child. And our emotions are so intense, God, do something. This verse 7, chapter 5 of Hebrews, and it says, He was heard. Catch this. He was heard because of His reverent submission. See, there's artificial crying and weeping that means nothing. That kind of burden and praying and crying that does not come from reverent submission. I submit to you your will, whatever you want to do. See, real men do not sit around with a box of tissues when they pray. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. You know, men don't have to, I'm going to get me a box of tissue and I'm going off somewhere. And if you think I'm against that, I'm not. But I think real men carry bandanas. And we cry. We don't need them little dinky tissues. They got that perfume and creamy stuff in them. Ugh. But I hope that makes the point that real men can cry and we don't do it just because, well, we're with a bunch of women and they're crying and I'm crying too, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. But when we get alone with God and we want Him to show up and we want Him to intervene and the burden is too heavy and there is no human answer and we can't figure it out, and God, please, by Your Spirit and these groans and these tears, I submit to You. And He was heard because of His reverent submission. Real men cry. Real men cry. Yep. We had our dog put down on Friday. Sunshine, 15 and a half years of age. Connie cried. I tried not to. Real men cry. Real men cry because of death. We lose a loved one, we lose a friend. But we cry when we see the Trentons and the Hamiltons and the world, the Jerusalems that have no hope. We cry because of lost people. Lost people matter to God. And they could be a family member, they could be a neighbor, someone that we work with. Lost people are lost, eternity separated from God. And like Jesus, we will cry because of burdened needs, burdened prayer that groans, that words just cannot, you can't find the right words. We just cry out to God. Will you be real men, real people, real men and women who cry? Do you cry when you pray? And I'm not saying that everybody has to cry every time they pray, but there's reasons to cry when we pray. I trust that you'll be a real man and a real woman. Let's stand. We're going to close in prayer. Father, we cry out to You that You would raise up some real men. and women that will cry for these reasons. Thank you for those among us that do. And Lord, we groan for your presence. Your presence. And as we leave this building, as we leave this room, let us breathe in that presence of your glory. In the name of Jesus, I ask these things. Amen. We're dismissed.